a lot of the industry is looking for precision technologies to come in and automate a problem, completely cut the person out of it so that way we can be more efficient. But when you really break down production, especially in the sow farm, there's so many elements that still require the person to intervene. And that might be a sow goes off feed. Somebody needs to get her in the ESF or do some sort of action. If we try to just innovate around people, I think we're going to find limited success. But if we can figure out ways to automate through people, human-centered automation, give people what they need to empower them to be more successful, I think that's where we're going to find the true efficiencies in this industry.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Healthy Farms by Bioverse, your manure management experts. SUNY, we provide value-added. Meta Farms, transforming agriculture with data-driven solutions for pork producers.
Hi-D from DSM Firmenich can improve your pig's vitamin D status. Hi-D offers pure, proven performance to help your pigs thrive.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host today, and I have as my guest Matthew Ruda, founder and CEO of SwineTech. Matthew leads a team committed to revolutionizing animal ag through workforce management and human-centered automation on a global scale. Welcome to our show, Matthew.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we're going to discuss SwineTech's flagship product and how Matthew and his team continue to integrate this product into swine farms across the world to improve pig care. So Matthew, it's great to have you on our show. Would you please just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to this point in your journey?
Happily. My background is a bit unique. I grew up in pork production, more specifically commercial pig production. I was born in Kinston, North Carolina. My family was from the Midwest, but my dad took an opportunity with J.C. Howard in the late 80s, and we were there for all of the 90s. And so I had an opportunity to not know much about all of that because I was still pretty small. But when my family moved back to the Midwest and my dad managed 8,000 sows and a bunch of finishing spaces, I had the opportunity to at least be around that. While at the same time, my grandfather had a couple hundred sows, farrow to finish, in the old 60s, 70s, 80s style of raising pigs. And so it was a lot of fun seeing how both of those operated. And also worked with a lot of local contract growers to help get things done. But I ultimately went to school to study genetics and biotechnology with the hopes of being an obstetrician. I didn't intend to stay in the swine industry. My parents always said, you can go and try and do something else. You can always come back to agriculture. That's something that you're going to have a foundation in. And I really loved the caregiving component of animal agriculture and pig production. And I really loved working in the farrowing house. And so I thought maybe obstetrician could be an interesting career, do it with people instead of with pigs. And I went and I met with the medical acceptance committee at the University of Iowa. And I asked them, what do I need to do to stand out from all the other students that are here trying to get into med school? And they said, you need to be different. And I asked them, well, what does different look like? They said, you got to figure that out. I said, well, what if I was helping manage a farrow to finish hog operation? And they were like, "What? Why would that be relevant?" And I explained the care, birthing, people management, vaccinations, treatments, all the things that went into this. And they all were pretty much unanimous in that's exactly what we're looking for. So oddly enough, in my path to med school, I spent 2 years as an assistant farm manager for a farrow to finish operation in Iowa, and then transferred into being a medication aide in nursing homes and hospitals, where I was able to use a lot of different technologies and software solutions to help provide care to people. And it was there that this idea of pig flow, human-centered automation, workforce management, quality of care, compliance, and pig production all came from. And so that's kind of where that was birthed when we talk about it. But then I also was still studying at Iowa when I was working in the nursing home. And I got an email from the university saying that they had $5,000, $3,000 for a student with a good business idea. And I applied. I pitched this idea about reducing piglet crushing, and our entrepreneurial journey kind of took off from there.
Explore MetaFarms for all your livestock production data needs. Experience our integrated software platform offering complete operational visibility from breed to market. Utilize customizable dashboards for data analysis and benchmarking. MetaFarms mobile apps enable offline access, maximizing efficiency and enhancing profitability. Visit us today at MetaFarms.
Wow, that's fascinating. Very, very unique. But, you know, some of the core things that you did in terms of the human med and care, I can see where your passion comes from. So really, thanks for sharing that. So, you know, you kind of grew up with the swine industry, right? So it sounds like, you know, we had a lot of growth in the 90s in our industry. And so, you know, my take is that you saw firsthand the need for good animal care and when with big farms and kind of the transition from, you know, producer owners to employees. And so, you know, tell us what challenges do you think, you know, still exist today around the execution of pig care?
I think some of the challenges that we have today are just verifying what we already think we're doing. When we started to focus on developing precision technologies with computer vision, voice recognition, wearables, what we had found was that although we could identify or solve a problem in the moment, if we didn't do all the other things that we would consider basic care consistently, we would see a diminished return on those pigs we had saved or that value we had created earlier on. So I can save a pig from getting laid on, but if we don't split suckle well or foster well or do all these other processes well, it's very possible that that extra pig we saved is just going to die from another reason. And so we put video surveillance in sow farms that had allowed us to do that and trace back every single pig death. And what we learned through that process was that there are a lot of processes that just are not executed consistently. And so we made a bet, we took a big bet on pivoting everything we do to this idea that if we can do the things we already think we're doing today consistently, then there is a massive amount of opportunity that we can gain without even needing to use fancy precision technologies. And if we can create that solid foundation of consistency, we can then start to layer on precision technologies as needed to help optimize that strong baseline. So in short, we just need to be more consistent in executing the things we already know and have proven add value today. Birthing observations, split suckling timeliness, setting litters, creating nurse sows the right way. There's so many things around pigmanship that have a lot to do with planning and just streamlining execution. And so what we want to do is put people in the right place at the right time more often to execute on those skills that they've been trained.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, it seems simple, right? But there are a lot of tasks and but it can't just be back to the basics, right? I don't know how many times I've said, you know, it's really just basic pig care and we'll get where we want to be. So how did the idea of pig flow come about? Tell me about that.
So it was in part due to the work we were doing with piglet crushing prevention. We had developed a voice recognition technology that very accurately identified if a piglet was getting laid on. But what we had found was that after saving roughly 30% of crushing events from taking place, the wean impact varied considerably from farm to farm that we had done trials in. And so that is what encouraged us to just watch back every single dead pig. Why is it that we're saving it? Yet, and we're clearly seeing the numbers early on after day one, day two, day three, but we're not weaning and making that impact. And a lot of assumptions were, oh, well, we were saving the small ones. Well, that wasn't the case. And we started to get real deep into it. I wish we had done a grad paper or a PhD on this, because some of the things we found, 2/3 of lay-ons were from the sow rolling, and only 1/3 was from her laying down in thousands of hours of video. And it was just wild to me that some of the assumptions we have seem to be somewhat flipped. And the little pigs, yes, it was their fault that, or it wasn't their fault they got laid on. They were too slow and maybe cold and laying up against mom. But the big pigs, it was often their fault because the sow was lactating. And when she would roll away out of her nursing bout, the big pigs would chase the teat and end up getting laid on with the head under. And so it was interesting to see some of those dynamics. Unfortunately, we were broke college kids and every dollar went towards moving the idea forward as opposed to paying for true research studies. So it'll be hard to ever find any of that evidence out there anywhere, but interesting stuff to research for students who are looking for something. But when we got to COVID and packing plants shut down and producers were saying, we're not going to be investing in technologies, especially not these computer vision, voice recognition, where expensive based precision technologies for quite some time. And we were running into this challenge of retaining value that was created early on by preventing a pig from getting laid on. That's when we said, okay, we need to either stop and pause or pivot towards something that can really make an impact. And it was towards pivoting to the basics. So COVID was as much as a catalyst as anything. Everybody was available. And I think in a month and a half, I interviewed 32 of the top 40 producers, and I interviewed over 200 individuals in sow farms, just focusing on what makes you stressed and frustrated. What are the basics that we don't execute? And in all of those interviews, because sometimes saying we don't do the basics well can be an ego hit. In all of those interviews, all 32 of the top 40 acknowledged the only way we can verify things get done is if we go and see it. And when we go and we look in the room to go see it, influence and behavior changes can take place because they know I'm there. And so we really just found this sweet spot of, we just need to verify execution without needing somebody to go and play detective. And if we can have a clear understanding of what we're doing, maybe we can create some leading indicators of care that can impact stillborns, pre-wean, and so on. Furthermore, in our interviews with employees and staff, when we asked them about what makes them stressed and frustrated, they said communication and organization. We need a better way of understanding what we need to do, when we need to do it, and are we doing a good job? They felt like existing record-keeping handhelds on the market were sufficient in collecting data, but they said nothing on the market helped them. And so we saw an opportunity where we could create something that actually made the life of the people in the farm better and then connect agnostically with records programs. And we're doing this with MetaFarm specifically, where when the employee is running that workflow and we collect data as a side effect of that, we can send that up to records and work agnostically with one another, really fulfilling that producer request to work better together as various technology companies in the industry.
Yeah, well, very cool. Well, I can tell you from the beginning of your conversation, you know, I'm guilty of thinking that, you know, most of the crushing occurs from, you know, a sow laying down, getting up and laying down. So, it's interesting. And I think observation, right? We have so many things to do in a farrowing house and so many things, you know, outside of the farrowing house and somewhat labor shortages, like we don't spend enough time maybe just doing observations. So call out to students. It sounds like there's some really good research still to be done in the swine industry. So that's great. So back to a little bit, go ahead.
A research project that just looks at every pig that died and then tracking back that death to origin. Because the reasons that are documented aren't always right, and the manner in which that piglet died, while this research project would be graphic, it would give a very clear illustration of why are pigs dying in the farm today and how.
Yeah, and I think, you know, adding to that, we've been discussing increasing the creep area, right? There's, you know, discussions of, you know, free farrowing, right? No farrowing crates, et cetera. And so, you know, I believe that there's a lot of research to be done in that area. So no, great thoughts, great motivation. So really quick back to some of the descriptions of the product. You talk about human-centered automation. So what is that? So give me a little bit more about what that is.
Yeah. So this is this idea that is in some ways contradicting what the industry is asking for, yet supporting what the industry is proud of. And the contradiction is a lot of the industry is looking for precision technologies to come in and automate a problem. completely cut the person out of it so that way we can be more efficient. But when you really break down production, especially in the sow farm, there's so many elements that still require the person to intervene. And that might be a sow goes off feed. Somebody needs to get her in the ESF or do some sort of action. If we try to just innovate around people, I think we're going to find limited success. But if we can figure out ways to automate through people, human-centered automation, give people what they need to empower them to be more successful, I think that's where we're going to find the true efficiencies in this industry. If I can understand from everything going on the barn around standard processes or issues precision technologies are identifying, and I can simply communicate that to somebody in the barn to let them know, here's all of the things going on right now. And because I filtered all this data through your manager's SOPs, I can tell you exactly what right now is the highest priority. And I can help everyone understand, you know, how busy are we? And everything isn't always a fire. Sometimes we get to the farm and we have all these alerts and we all treat them like they need to be done right now. Well, maybe not. If the expectation is we get a sow on feed within 12 hours of going off feed and she went off feed 2 hours ago, we still got a while. We don't need to drop checking pigs farrowing or boar exposure or breeding sows to go get sows on feed. It's important that we figure out how to better prioritize work in the day by tying that to expectations and just making that live and clear.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, you can come in and it's, again, it seems to be so task oriented and we a bit forget about our kind of jobs as animal caretakers and observations, and make it not just a task. And I think we've lost a little bit of that in terms of, you know, maybe our training as well. We need really good pig caretakers and observers of the pig and then, you know, maybe tools like yours to help us do the things we were doing by hand and scheduling and making sure people show up for work. And if somebody didn't or has a holiday, where, you know, how do we fill that gap, right? Maybe some tools to help with that. So very interesting. And I do think when I think of automation, I think of taking away, you know, the human aspect, right? It's a robot or some automation. But, you know, what I learned from you is that we still need people. It's to help use automation to help people do their jobs better. So really interesting.
Yeah, we've definitely learned through a lot of the things that we were inspired by healthcare, how to do this in a way that's already been proven to work. When we look at healthcare has records. They have electronic patient records. And they had precision technologies. And I would be out in a nursing home taking care of somebody, updating medical records, and I'd walk into the hallway and I'd see six lights on in the hallway outside of people's doors. And those were call lights, people saying, I need help. But I had zero clue who pushed theirs when and how significant the issue was. And so what did I do? I went to the closest room. Or to the name that I thought was the highest risk. Well, what healthcare did is they inserted a tech layer right in between records and technologies called patient management. And what patient management does is it takes live data and it filters it through SOPs to make it clear what the expectation is. And so now when I walk out of that room, instead of seeing the lights, I actually had a phone that said I had six alarms go off from people, and it told me how long they'd been waiting and told me what kind of pull cord it was. Was it one that indicated they might have fallen, or is somebody just trying to change the TV station? It's a big inspiration for what we're doing today.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And as a veterinarian, I've wanted to learn more about human healthcare. You know, lucky for me, I haven't had to spend a lot of time in the hospital or have family members who have. And so that's really intriguing to understand how you took those experiences and put them into swine production. So tell me how some of those production aspects on the farm change due to pig flow. So dig in a little bit to what it does for you on the farm.
Yeah, so there's lots of different SOPs on the farm. Many of them are predictable because it's tied to the reproductive flow. And so what we do is we built that out and then allowed producers to customize what are those expectations. So if we start very early in the birthing process, before we even load the sow into the farrowing house, we can set custom criteria on what is an at-risk sow based on prior performance or parity. So now when we move them in, we already know who is likely going to be at risk. And we can move them in next to one another. So that way, as they're farrowing, we can have all the at-risk sows who are due on the same day more likely in a place where they can farrow side by side and be more efficient. Now, when they're farrowing and we say they've started farrowing, we are going to be able to know how many minutes until we need to check on that sow. And so if she is not at risk, individuals can say, yeah, I want a 30-minute round or a 25-minute round. If she is at risk, they can say, I want a 15-minute round. And so that person providing that care is going to have constant visuals on where they need to be, when they need to be there, and what type of situation are they getting into. Now, with all of that, you can also build out custom criteria for split suckling. When do we split suckle? What is the number of cycles? What is the time length for those? And so as this person is going through the day, in day zero pig care, they can see how many sows are farrowing, how many litters need to be split suckled, and manage it in that way. And if it's a big farm, they can actually filter it as well to see only the at-risk or only the not at-risk. One thing we found out when we brought this product to market in just the farrowing assistance part of the tool is that most farms, and I say most, I mean 90%+ of farms, are below 30% compliant checking sows in accordance to the SOP that was already written. And most of that got quickly corrected when the staff had a visual to see I'm late. They're trying. They just weren't multitasking or aware of the time management itself. And so then you can quickly get to 50, 60%. But on the flip side of those farms, you'll have somebody who comes back and says, this is impossible. There's no way we can check sows this quick. And that's also a funny moment because that's been the SOP for probably a year or longer. And when we walk in, normally the word is, oh, we're doing a great job checking sows. And so just in that little process, we're able to see, and I'd call it a pillar of execution in pig production, is helping sows farrow successfully. It's a big part of what it means to be successful in raising pigs. We're less than 30% compliant. And it doesn't have to be overly expensive or overly complicated to correct that. So what we found over time is that when we can become more consistent in checking sows, that will correlate directly with stillborn reduction. And so we'll typically see a 15 to 20% reduction in stillborns, but we've seen 40, 50, 60% reduction on stillborns in 5 to 10 different sow farms. And so it's not crazy to get sub 3% on stillborn rates, but it does take dedication. And those who are able to do that are typically implementing step two of what it means to succeed in this workflow. Step one is just figuring out where are we and can we be compliant. Step two is once we're compliant, if we start to adjust the SOP, maybe that's checking sows more often or less often, what does that impact to stillborns? Because if we can maintain consistency on those adjustments, we can start to run a cost-benefit analysis on the labor and time we're putting in on a checkup by checkup basis to the actual stillborn prevention itself. And what we found in some cases, sometimes with genetics and sometimes genetics within genetics, right? Depending on the nucleus or the multiplier cells are coming from, that can be materially different. There are sows that may need regular 20, 25 minute checkups, and there's sows that might need 35. And every farm, we believe, is a unique version of itself. Yeah, we can have the same genetics, can have a similar build, a similar management approach. But for whatever reason, it's normal distribution when it comes to these farms. Everybody has a unique thing. And if we can help each farm tailor itself to find its perfect world within its operating procedures and execution, I think we can figure out a better way to maximize the genetic potential that we're all investing in.
Yeah, really, really good. I think I agree that kind of each farrowing house has a life of its own, I talk about, and that's really on a disease standpoint. But I agree in terms of, you know, just a teamwork and the facilities and even how far farrowing rooms are from each other or different farrowing locations within the same farm, right? There's so many differences among them that, you know, you have to build it really kind of custom it, I would assume, to each farm.
Absolutely. And what we're finding there is that even something as simple as somebody who's doing day zero pig care being pulled out of that role to go support other aspects of day-to-day operations. Historically, we wouldn't have really noticed it, but what we're finding is that that is sometimes the most common person that gets asked to step out of their role to go help the farm catch up if they're behind. But we're taking somebody out of one of the most important roles. And we call that just, are we prioritizing early pig care? Are we treating that as the number one priority, or is getting in and getting out the priority? And it's very easy to see in the data where we live in that, and we can correct that quite smoothly.
So how have the people that have used this product, what do they think of it? And, you know, what's a challenge or a triumph maybe in terms of, you know, getting people to like it or work through this newness of a technology?
So in the first year and a half, we brought on 30,000 sows with very different situations, continuous batch, multicultural, not multicultural, let's say strong culture, questionable culture. And we tried to work with all of those different crews to understand how we could create the most user-friendly daily execution assistance tool. And it was funny because your staff members that just wanted to get home sometimes had the best ideas around finding efficiencies. And sometimes it was the guys that were striving for 34 PSY. But by doing that, we were able to find all the things that can help improve quality of life for the team. When we started out looking at compliance and execution and verification, we realized that the only way a tool ever succeeds in compliance is if the people using it absolutely love it. And so that was the goal. After we solved that, we could work towards upper management. Now, this created a delayed sales cycle for us because the person that you're asking to make the investment early on was not and may not be the person to benefit. They might benefit at the end of the day from the ROI, but at the end of the day, we're trying to improve the quality of life of people at the SLAT level to help them be more empowered, to help them be more efficient, to help them provide better pig care. And we viewed that only they would know the answer to that. So we also threw in multilingual chat capabilities in the software. So that way people can communicate in the farm in a group chat in up to 99 different languages. We threw in task management, which is a very versatile way of scheduling out what happens every day, what happens on weekends, what happens on wean days, what happens on once a month basis. And by departments. And that can look incredibly different by farm based on whether they want that as a primarily training tool, maintenance, or just for all facets of the day. And then we really looked at just the whole flow. How can we make this more seamless for staff? So today, I'd say that one of our greatest strengths is that when we go into a farm and we leave after being there for a few days, the staff are huge champions of this solution. And part of that is because of our onboarding approach. A lot of solutions say, hey, we're going to start you up. You hop on a Zoom call, you get them started, or you ship them something and let us know if you have questions. We take the time to show up in person for 2.5 full days to just help absorb as much of the stress of change as possible. And we send people on our team that all have prior sow farm management experience, because when it comes to day-to-day execution, if you don't understand how to flow a sow farm, it's really hard to be supportive. They have to come first.
No, they do. They do. You know, they're the ones out there doing, you know, doing all the hard work, right? And I have witnessed firsthand the excitedness of staff that have used this product and said, you know, this is, you know, great technology and enthusiasm. So that's nice to see. But it does, it, you know, it it does have to start with the owner investor, right? And an ROI. And so sometimes a bit of this takes a bit of time. Yep. And so I've seen that challenge as well. So that's a bit of this type of technology. It is an investment. It's hard to see the benefits until you invest in it. Showing what you've done at some farms is the only way to do that. So, and getting some of those people that are at the slat level to support it.
Yeah. And today we're working with about 400,000 sows in the US, Canada, and Australia. And 94% of all farms that have ever come on the platform since 2020 are still working with us today. And that's been in a bad market. So we're really happy to see that when people do give it a shot, by far and by most, they're finding that value. When we work with a group, it's very important we take a tailored approach because everybody is different. And I think if you try to bucket a producer or a farm, I think that's when you run into problems.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, yeah, and congrats to you, because that is, we have been in a down market, and it's hard to invest in some, more technologies when that's where our industry has been. So tell me about the integration into MetaFarms. You know, that's a platform that a lot of people already used. And so how does that work, and why MetaFarms?
Yeah, so we have two-step integrations with a lot of records programs. But when it came to MetaFarms, MetaFarms has a lot to offer for producers, both on the sow side and the grow finish side. And we wanted to figure out a way just to make that more immediate. So that way, when people are doing things in the barn, Pig Flow is helping the people in the farm understand what's relevant to them, but then helping upper management also immediately understand what's relevant to them. Our big approach from the beginning is don't recreate the wheel. Too many times we get a product and instead of trying to find ways to work together, the easier way just seems, well, I'll just build my own. But if everybody tries to build their own, the rate of change that we're going to have as an industry is going to be so slow. So we tried to say, we're going to focus on-farm execution, MetaFarms. You focus on upper level management decision-making based on historical production and what's happened. And together we should be able to create something that's a really great experience for the producer. And thus far in our mocked up scenarios, it's been pretty impactful. So we're pretty excited to be able to bring that to the broader market, not just in the US, but global here this next year.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I've always talked about, as I've seen some technologies in swine farms, companies kind of go away from their core and have this project and they're working on it sort of on the side. And so those are hard to, I guess, bring to your core if that's not your primary business, and they are slow and maybe not as streamlined. And so I think that collaborations are the key, and just linking them all together will make it a more seamless opportunity.
And it's tough early on with collaborations because there is a lot of time that goes into it. But the time you gain after that collaboration on each part of that connected group focusing on the one thing they do really well, it's exponential. And so that little bit of investment that we're doing on the front end with MetaFarms and others like Gestal and other groups, it's going to have exponential speed components in growing the way that we can help producers over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So Matthew, we're rounding out our time together, and I want to say thank you to our listeners. And if you guys out there have questions or comments, send those through your listening platform. Also, if you liked our show today, give us a thumbs up. Matthew, a trademark of our show is to ask our guests a few thought-provoking questions at the end of our time together.
It's time for our famous three. Why risk it? Your herd may have antigenic gaps that are not being covered by the products currently available. Custom-made vaccines provide a unique advantage in that they can be formulated to a herd-specific bacterial and viral needs. Choose the exact isolates, adjuvant, packaging, and size you need with Vaccinova for a vaccine formulated to your needs. Find out more by visiting us at vaccinova.us.com That's vaxxinova.us.com. I want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Anatox. Research shows that feed sanitizers reduce the onset of viruses in commercial swine feed. Improve swine productivity through powerful pathogen control with Anatox today. Trow Nutrition North America. Everything we do is driven by passion and backed by science. Vaccinova. Formulate to your needs. Custom-made vaccines. Visit us at vaccinova.us.com for more info. That's vaxxinova.us.com. AccuFast. The best way to predict the future is to create it. Start creating your future today at AccuFastSwine.com. AB Vista. New nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production.
And so share with us what book or resource that you use in your area of expertise or that's been motivational for you.
Yeah, so for me, I'd say that there are a lot of books that are impactful that I think are impactful for most people. I mean, you might look at the Bible or other historian documents that are fairly telling about where we've been and where we are today. But when it comes to just casually sitting back and reading a book that is entertaining yet offered value for me, I would say Green Lights was one that I really enjoyed with Matthew McConaughey. I found it very entertaining. And the whole concept is that every decision in life has a light, either green light, let's go, it's the right timing, yellow, slow down. It might not be the right timing, be cautious, and red, like it's clearly not the right time. But through his storytelling, he really got to that point of red lights always change. It might not be right now, but maybe it'll be right in the future. So don't give up. Don't burn bridges. Don't be short-term minded. Figure out where you want to go in life and just work passionately towards that and keep your eye open for opportunities, because it might not be the one that you want. It might be something that you thought of a long time ago or haven't thought of yet. It might be a person you haven't talked to in a while that you're reconnecting with. Just be opportunistic and patient. And that was a fun book for me.
Yeah, I've read that as well pretty recently. And I also enjoyed the storytelling, but all of the storytelling, right, had a purpose into, you know, what that did or what impact that particular situation had on his life. So, and for me, it was what I did appreciate is that he took some time from, you know, something he was doing and could sit back and reflect, and it wasn't the end of his career. And so I appreciated that piece, very much resonated with me currently, that, you know, you don't have to be full steam ahead 100% every day, every month, every year. You can step back, and sometimes it's very valuable and worthwhile. So now that brought back some good thoughts. Thank you for that. So what about in you know, our space, whether it's business or healthcare or automation, what's a book or resource in your workspace that you recommend others to check out?
For just day-to-day efficiencies or value?
Yeah, just something that, you know, that's particular to you know, you building your business and career, you know, what would be, or maybe it's something, a resource that you go to every day that you check out on the web or on your phone.
Yes, there's so many different resources, but one that we use pretty religiously in the office that could have so many use cases in production, it's just not a common tool that people talk about, is Slack for communication. So I think when we look at the way all the different levels of management need to communicate and the different offshoots of conversations that need to be had, a tool like Slack is incredibly cheap to gain the type of efficiency you can in communication. But word of caution, and we were told this early on, Slack is a very difficult thing to implement, because when you go from having calls text and email to adding in another form of communication, if not implemented well, people are going to still email, call, and Slack because they're not confident if their message is being seen. So I'm not going to tell you implementing Slack is easy, but once it's considered the standard of communication, it's so efficient.
Very interesting. Well, I'll have to look into it because I'm not familiar with it. But I do know that I used to say, you know, just let me know and you can call me, email me, or text me. I answer all of them. And so that's an interesting thing to look into. So I appreciate that. So the last one of our questions is, can you share with us kind of an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others? So what's that one key that you're looking for that you see in successful people?
So I can't narrow it down to one, but I can give you two. And I think in a lot of ways they're interchangeable, but I would say coachable and persistent. And even bundle that together in a persistence to being coachable. When I look back to what I'd learned growing up, it was putting myself in a position where I wasn't comfortable, but I was persistent in finding individuals to teach me something that I could learn there. Same with the work I was doing in the healthcare space and even in starting this business and all the things we had to learn. We did a accelerator over in Ireland with the Pierce Lyons accelerator for a few months, and we learned a lot through that. So I'd like to say learning. But I don't think it's that as much because I might not be the most avid learner, but I can say that for me, persistence and coachability have been the two things that I think have helped me the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we can see your persistence of trying to make care better for all those pigs out there. So definitely appreciate your passion in this area. Thank you for your time today. It's been really fun to get to know you and may have a few more ending things for us.
Just one thing to share, because I think it's a big part of our industry's story. I was meeting with a reporter from the Des Moines Register and from, I believe it was the Boston Globe, talking about a recent documentary that we did with MIT. And they said, aren't you concerned that the consumer is going to be super upset about all of these technologies that we're putting on pigs or working with pigs and that we're taking the care out of it and we're just making it autonomous and robotic? And I quickly said, in healthcare, we have all of these things and then some. Why wouldn't we want to elevate the quality of care that we offer animals to that of human health? What is wrong with us giving the animals everything that we expect as people in the care that we receive? They were speechless, said they'd never really thought of it that way before, and that made a lot of sense. So I think that by caveating this push against technology and animal production with an enhancement of care that equals, rivals, or even maybe exceeds that of human health, I think that is a message that we can share today, are actively pursuing, and have a lot of successes that we can point towards. So congrats to everybody who has been a part of that journey, the veterinarians, the producers, the caregivers, the technology providers. I think we're in a really exciting time in pork production, and it's going to be a story that we can all be proud to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. What a good interchange. You know, not all of us have the opportunity to go face to face with people in that communication, area. So appreciate that for our industry. And you're exactly right. We're trying to work every day to make it better for pigs, and using those technologies, I think, is going to get us there. So very good. Well, I appreciate your time and thank you so much.